What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick with you for the next 4 hours. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Man, beautiful weather. May get some rain today. May cool things down a little bit this week. Actually, rain, I think chances pretty predominant throughout the week, so maybe a little bit cooler temps throughout this week. Got a lot of things to get into. We'll talk with TD coming up to begin the second hour, talk a little bit about the Titans. And, you know, as we sit here in June, lots of things to discuss with them as we get a little bit closer to training camp and preseason. Yeah, I know you're like, what? No, it'll be here before you know it. Usually the summer months fly by. We'll head east. Boy, lots of things to get into with Vince Ferrara at high noon. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will join us at 1 o'clock to also talk about the Titans and all things Nashville. Willie, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. A lot of fun games to watch, a lot of fun activities, beautiful weather, got outside a lot, so all good.
Were they playing around here, or were they on the road? Was Mahoney playing?
Yeah, they played against 18-year-olds in the Columbia area.
Okay.
Columbia, Mount Pleasant, that region, south.
Okay.
Go to the Saturn plant and keep going.
That was that area.
So yeah. Hung in there, had some good moments, but not easy to play against the guys generally 2 years older than our guys. But preparing us for the next couple challenges. We've got one in Atlanta this weekend, and then off to the cornfields next week in Iowa. That'll be interesting.
The
Field of Dreams.
Are you going on that trip?
I am.
Okay.
I might be doing some shows from the cornfields.
Hmm.
I don't know how close. I don't know if I'll actually be in the cornfields like Ray Liotta, the late Ray Liotta and Shoeless Joe Jackson and those guys, but I'll be near them.
Okay.
I'll be near them.
So it's going to be what is – give us the setup. I mean, how does this work? Is there a complex nearby? How does this work?
Well – your guess is as good as mine.
Okay, you don't know.
I think there will be games played on the fields that, you know, the actual Field
the
of Dreams.
Okay.
And the one where the White Sox and the Yankees played last summer.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm guessing there's got to be a few more fields, too, to accommodate a full tournament. But you know what? I'm going to try to get some answers on that for you this week because you know who runs the tournament.
We do. We know him well.
First name,
Danny.
Our good man, Danny Evans, the former frequent guest on our shows for years with the late Nick the Stick Hunter, former general manager of the Dodgers, assistant GM for the White Sox for a long, long time. He's been an agent. He's done a lot of different things, and that's what he's done now. He's been one of the creators of that place. So we might have to try to get Danny on the show to tell us more about this place because they're hosting a lot of tournaments over the summer. Different age groups. It's a little bit, I think, like Omaha has done around the College World Series. Just bring teams through and come to the games, have a great time. And, of course, later this summer there will be another Major League game. I know the Cubs are one of the teams. I can't remember who they're playing. But
is it Cubs-Cardinals?
Is it the Cardinals?
I don't know. I feel like that's right, but I don't know. I may have just made it up. It sounds good, though, doesn't it?
Well, I know it's the Cubs, but it was a huge hit last year. It was a great game between the Yankees and the White Sox. It was a walk-off homer by the White Sox, but it got great ratings in the middle of the summer, which baseball desperately needs. And it's something they probably ought to look into doing more.
Yeah, I want to say Cubs Cardinals, but I think that's a guess, but I don't know. It feels good though. It feels good when I say that. When it rolls off the tongue, it feels good. But I don't have any idea if it's factually correct. So we'll go with that until somebody corrects us. How about that? Well, that sounds like fun. We'll have to get Danny on. He's a great guy. I've sat in his – he used to have – I don't know. I doubt he does. He used to have
It's the Cubs Reds. It's the Cubs Reds.
Ah, well, see.
August 11th.
I was wrong.
At the Field of Dreams.
Just Cubs Reds, that just doesn't feel good. You know, when I say Reds, it's just like, ugh. Doesn't feel good.
The Reds should be banned from TV in general. Yeah,
they should be banned from the league, really. I think they should have a shutdown. Like, go away to another league. Like, what is don't they do that in the Premier League? Can they, like,
relegation,
push them
yeah.
down?
Yeah.
Like, let them go play the Savannah Bananas for a while. You know, build up their confidence. Build up their roster. Although I think the Bananas, do they always win? So that may not build up their confidence. Because they're like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. So do they always win or do they lose? We need to know
this. I think you just play games and see who wins, right? Don't you?
So there, it's not.
Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Have well, yeah,
competition?
But I mean, the Globetrotters play games too, but they typically
find a way
to
win. I don't think it's the Globetrotters.
Okay. Right, but you know, it's 2 hours and then the game is over, period, no matter what the score is. So maybe not. But I just feel like I think they kind of skew it the Bananas way. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe the Reds need to go down. So Cubs, Reds, gosh, that's disappointing. But we'll probably still watch because it's really cool setting. Really cool setting. But, yeah, I've sat in Danny's suite with him when he had one at the Anaheim Stadium for an Angels-White Sox game, ironically. Jim Thome was playing for the White Sox, if you want to try to put together the time reference when I was out there doing that. And two suites over, these were field-level suites, two suites over, he informed me that was Scott Boras' suite. And so I gave him, I told him he was number one. He wasn't in the suite.
Speaking of Scott Boras, Kamar Rocker is back on the mound. Did you see that? He pitched in one of these independent league games and looked very, very impressive over the weekend.
Yeah, he pitched for the Bananas. He pitched for the Savannah Bananas.
No, he did not.
He did not?
Nope, it was an independent league. I don't think they play the Bananas, but the most important thing is he had the stuff. He was throwing 96 to 98, and most people are projecting him to go in the first round. We were speculating on this a couple of weeks ago, I think, but Keith Law, who we've had on the show before, and maybe we should do it again because as we get closer to the draft, there's a lot of prospects, you know, playing for Vanderbilt and Tennessee that people are curious about. And some guys who are signed that could go play college or could be drafted. You know, this is that time of the year. It's coming up in the next few weeks. But everybody's kind of curious where Rocker is going to go. And the speculation is probably mid-first round based on that outing there. But, of course, whoever drafts him, I guess, will have to tackle whatever issues there were that the Mets found in the medicals. And who knows? 5 years from now, the Mets could look completely nuts for not signing him. But only time will tell. But I'm really happy for him because he's been awfully quiet. He really hasn't talked to anybody. And now here he is, and it looks like he's just picked up where he left off.
Well, I'm not surprised. He didn't talk a ton here, so I'm not surprised that he hasn't talked much since leaving here. So, yeah, it's going to be real. I'm very curious because I don't have faith in your Mets that they know what they're doing. Even though they're having a great year, typically they have found ways to fumble and bumble through things.
So no.
They've made a lot of mistakes over the years.
Not the Mets.
I know. Just, again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that felt good, kind of like saying the Cardinals. But, again, Cardinals felt good and I was wrong. So maybe saying that about the Mets, it felt right, but maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe they're actually a well-oiled machine that I've just viewed them as not a well-oiled machine. But we'll see because clearly – they were willing to walk away from a high first-round draft pick. And only, you know, yes, they get compensated, but they don't, you know, that just goes away. And it's because they didn't feel good about something in the medicals. And so I'll be curious the next team, do they find the same, you know, do they go down the same road? Do they look the other way? Do they say, what were the Mets thinking? Those, what an idiots the Mets are. Do they do that? I don't know. But you're right. In 5 years, we'll know. Because if Kumar Rocker, whoever he gets drafted by, look, he's not going to spend much time down. If he gets drafted, he may get thrown into the fire right away. Forget. Remember, he's not going to be 18 years old. At this point, he's going to be what? 22, 23?
I feel like he's 22, but I'm not 100% sure. This would be his fourth year out of high school, but I haven't checked his birth date.
Okay, so let's go with 22.
Yeah.
They're not going to spend a whole lot of time, I don't think, unless the organization wants to keep him down like a lot of baseball teams.
Well, you've got to just prove that you can, be better than your level. I would think they'd have him on a fast track if he does well at high A and then double A. I wouldn't think he would spend 22. Too much time there. So he is 22. Elijah just checked that. So I think it's going to be maybe the biggest story of the draft. I think it's going to come up big time. And I even think, despite the fact that the Mets are doing so well, and I don't think it'll be a huge story up there, but I think people, the day of the draft and around it, that story is going to come up. Because remember, the Mets get an extra pick because they passed on Kumar. They didn't sign him. So the Mets actually have two first-round picks. One is compensation at around the same slot. So that will be the thing to track, who the Mets pick.
Around the same spot?
Yeah, it's like one pick later, I think.
Really?
Yeah. That was the deal. That's why they passed, is they had that option.
Okay.
Based on looking at the medicals. And only the Mets have seen the medicals, right? These haven't come out publicly. There has been a lot of speculation. One of the things that I heard from the Nashville circles was, whatever was on those medicals was on it the day he got to Vanderbilt. It's been something he's been dealing with his entire lifetime.
Interesting.
Right? Remember, R.A. Dickey had a real unique situation.
Yep.
Where he had his ligament was gone. He didn't have the Tommy John ligament. Mm-hmm. And so he had to sign for way under value. And he decided to sign and not go back to Tennessee, which he could have. Or he could have done what Kumar did and become a free agent, pitched in an independent league for a year, and then come back. He decided to sign for way undervalued for a first-round pick. I think it was $75,000, and just make it work from there. We know his story is quite unique, what he did for himself. But
it's almost like the Mets didn't talk to Vanderbilt before that pick.
I'm sure they talked a lot to Vanderbilt, but I don't think they asked for the medicals. I don't think they had the right to see them. But there was a whole process, right, where he could have shown the medicals to everybody at the combine, but this is a Scott Boras move, mm-hmm. right? He withheld that. Maybe he knew something and decided not to play that card at that point. But once the Mets drafted him, they could ask him to go through the medical process, and that's when they saw whatever it is that they saw, some sort of trouble sign for down the road, and they elected to pass. And I was told it was a pretty, if you look at the reporting, it was a pretty easy decision for them. At least on their end, they were like, well, this won't work. Let's just take the first round pick next year. But of course, all of us here, knowing Kumar the way we know him, we're like, God, are you sure you know what you're doing there? I mean, this is a pretty special guy. But again, we'll have to check back year by year. This is going to be an interesting one to watch. But I'm really glad that his stock is, it's not like he's going to get picked in the 25th round here. It looks like he's going to have another opportunity to go pretty high.
Speaking of that, we'll talk about what Vanderbilt and Tennessee did this week, and we'll do that on the other side here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5, The Game, and 106.3, and The Game Nashville app. Keeping with the baseball theme, we'll have a four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Norfolk. I've already seen the Sounds of Norfolk this year. That is the AAA affiliate for the Orioles. In fact, their high-profile catcher, who's been doing quite well in Baltimore, was actually behind the plate for that game that I saw earlier this year.
It was on Mother's Day.
Yes, the Oregon State guy. What, Adley
Rutschman?
Yeah. Rutschman. Yeah. That game will be Sunday, June 12th. So this upcoming Sunday. So a four-pack of tickets for This Is What I Know coming up in about an hour and a half, a little bit less than that. You'll have to get in there and participate with us to win that nice prize. Just tell us what you know. It's that easy. Kind of like Ben in Ashland City. How about Cumberland City? Ben said his son played in the Field of Dreams last weekend. Games were spread all over. Championship games were on the cornfield. Wasn't impressed with the organization. His son ran speed competition at 10 o'clock at night. Yikes. And the team from Clarksville, Clarksville Clutch, they are, and I don't know what level this is because there's a Clarksville Clutch that's been at our levels over the years. I don't know what age group this is. Went 5-1 and placed fourth out of 34 teams. Good experience, but could have been organized better. So that's okay. From Ben in Cumberland City.
Good scouting report.
Yeah, that's pretty.
If I saw this right, I think it might have been the 13s. If I saw Danny Evans's Twitter, 13 or 14s. But you know, you can keep shuttling teams in different ages, different weeks. So we'll see what kind of operation we got here.
So, yeah, I'm actually very curious because we're going to go out of state for the first time ever. We're going to go to St. Louis at the end of our season. We now have, after this weekend, two more tournaments. And I'm proud that I actually have a voice today. I thought I was going to have to tell you and tell the suit to get involved today because I didn't think I was going to have a voice from this weekend. So I'm happy that I woke up with a voice. But we're going to go to St. Louis. And so we're going to do that, taking a Cardinals-Marlins game. I can't escape the Marlins and have a fun time at their World Series of Missouri. So that'll be fun. And then, you know, things like, you know, and I know we've talked over the years, you know, Cooperstown. You've always got the Cal Ripkins that are cool. There's one in Gatlinburg/Pigeon Forge. I think there's one in South Carolina that people have also raved about. And then the one in Omaha. Apparently is really cool.
I can tell you about that one. That's
around
really
the College
good.
World Series, which is coming up soon. And you're right, you could
thumbs up on that one.
Yeah, I know you've said that's really cool because you play games when you got downtime. Hey, oh by the way, you can go over there and watch the College World Series with your kids. Like that's cool.
Yeah, we even had a day where we drove to Lincoln, which you know the pro. That's the give and take.
Or corn. You just can't get away from corn.
Can't get away from corn. But we got to go to Lincoln and play right next to the Nebraska complex. So we got to see their stadium, which otherwise we would never have seen. Now, it was a long drive. Got to drive an hour, hour and a half, you know, hour up, hour back to your game. But got to see the area. It's just something different and fun. You know, there's a lot of people that joke, well, why don't you just, you know, why do you go all this way just to play teams that, you know, you could play the same caliber team around here. I get that.
It's just the experience.
And it is expensive. You know, it is an investment to do that. But you do get some great memories out of it. That's why I like tournaments like that as a special treat. You know, I think those are good because those are memories that
hopefully
everybody
they'll take with
will
them
have.
Forever,
yeah,
right?
No question. You'll never forget going to that.
That's the whole point of it. That's the way I feel. Like, this is about trying to make memories that hopefully – these kids will take with them for the rest of their life. They'll always remember. You hope.
Oh, no question.
Right?
No question.
I mean, I wish I was able to do that stuff. I mean, when we played, there just wasn't, you know, there wasn't this whole travel ball scene and just the whole, like, we did All-Stars. That was, like, the big deal.
Yes. The dream of going to Williamsport was the big dream that we all had.
Yeah, that's it. And that was really it. I mean, there was no, you know, the way these kids have it today where they travel all over the place. We just didn't have that back when we played. So hopefully stuff like we're talking about is memories that they'll take with them for the rest of their life. So Ben did way back in. He said it was the Clarksville Clutch 13 UT.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought I saw that.
Yeah. So good for them. Sounds cool. Jonathan in East Nashville in your neck of the woods. I don't know if you know Jonathan. I don't know if everybody in East Nashville knows everybody. But he asked on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, how is Rocker not playing right now in the MLB? Well, that's easy to answer. And then he said something I'm not going to say on the air. WTH. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Well, because not on a major league team.
Nobody has his rights. He has to be drafted, which is why a lot of people thought that the system was unfair when the Mets passed. A lot of people think that he should have become a free agent at that point.
But that wouldn't serve him well, though, would it?
Well, he could have gone to the highest bidder you know, so he could have just thrown his hat in the ring and signed with anybody, in theory, if that were the system. But the system is he had to wait a whole nother year to get drafted. And that's why I'm relieved that his stock apparently hasn't dropped that much, because I think the nightmare would have been he gets drafted in the 10th round and gets very little signing bonus at all, and he goes from being a first-round pick to that in a year. But it looks like he's throwing the ball well, and he's going to get another opportunity. But that's the system. Every system of drafting players is a little bit different. You know, baseball is different than hockey, is different than football, is different than basketball. So, you know, you have to sign somebody to a contract, and because of the system, he has to be drafted. Now, if he were from another country, remember that, you know, the international players are just like free agents, right? You just go around and you find the guys around the globe, offer them a contract, and sign them.
Yeah.
And you have a pool of money to do so.
Well, let's talk about these regionals. You know, we talked about, is this the year where the SEC doesn't get at least three teams to Omaha in the College World Series? We know eight teams will advance to the College World Series. Well, guess what? Not all the tickets have been punched into the Super Regionals, but two tickets from the SEC have been punched into the Super Regionals. So two teams we know are still alive, and that's, of course, the two favorites. If you were picking the two teams to get to Omaha, it would be number one in the land, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. They did come out of the College Station region with Oral Roberts, TCU, and Louisiana. So Texas A&M is advancing to the Super Regional. They will take on the winner of Louisville and Michigan. That's what's left in that Louisville Regional. And Tennessee has punched their ticket as well, and they already know their opponent. Remember, we talked about it with, oh boy, was it Dave Neal? I think it was Dave Neal that said, you know, a lot of people thought that Statesboro region, Notre Dame should have been hosting.
Yeah, that's one where you can't help but think the committee is trying to give opportunities to the little guys. And I see that. You know, otherwise you just perpetuate the top programs with all the advantages. When you get to play on your field, you earn the right to play on your field all the way through. It keeps the big dogs in position. And the SEC had some teams that had to go on the road, probably more so than some years, but they're still 21-6 in the tournament. By far the best record of any conference. 78% winning percentage. So today will be a big swing day for a lot of teams, right? With Vanderbilt playing on the road, with I believe Arkansas has got to win another game. There's still a lot of teams. Florida is playing at home, but they lost the game, so they've still got to win today. By the end of the day, though, I still think the SEC is going to be in position to. And Auburn's very likely going to get in there, right? They all have to do is finish a blowout game, and they'll be through. That'll be three hosting Super Regionals. So.
They have UCLA, and UCLA has a loss, so yeah, they'll have to lose twice to the Bruins.
Yeah, and they're already ahead, something like 9-0. It's a rain delay. They were well on their way to winning last night before rain stopped it, so they'll be through very quickly. So they'll be three hosting the Super Regionals, regardless of what happens in the other games, and there's still some other teams that are still very much alive. Including Vanderbilt, who, to their credit, they caught fire at the right. They looked absolutely dead in the water about six innings into the game on Friday. And while they didn't win that game, at least they showed a little bit of life. And then after a disappointing loss, they've bounced back to win three straight decisively. But they've got to win one more today, and there's a lot of question marks on can they get the pitching. But Oregon State has got to have a little bit of seed of doubt now after Vanderbilt beat him pretty decisively last night.
Yeah, let's talk about that and more on the other side, because we haven't even touched on what Tennessee did and, of course, Vanderbilt, as you mentioned. Vanderbilt and Oregon State, who comes out of that region. So we'll get into all that and more on the other side. Let me talk to you, though, right now about summer heat. You know it's here. If you were outside this weekend, summer heat, although at times it felt very comfortable. At night, it was really, really nice. But summer is here, right? We're in the first week of June. So is your air conditioner ready Costs are rising everywhere. We know that, right? You dread going to the grocery store and checking out. You dread putting gas in your car, especially if you're trying to fill up your tank. You dread getting your utilities bill. You name it, everything. Costs are up. Everything is really expensive. Is your AC old, inefficient, and costing more than it should? Well, interest rates are rising, but not at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Qualified buyers have up to 72 months, no interest for a new York air conditioner, plus 6 months, no interest for repairs. That's at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. All new systems come with 10-year parts and labor warranty. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. We're teaming up with our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz, and the Nashville Predators. We're going to host 615 Day. We'll have that celebration at Fordyce Center in Antioch. That'll be Wednesday, June 15th. Get it? There you go. That makes sense, right? We'll be benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. This event will feature fun for the whole family while paying tribute to Nashville's annual 615 Day. And we're going to have a lot of fun on that June 15th date. So that is coming up in, 9 days. We'll be out there at the Fordyce Center in Antioch. For more details to bid on silent auction items, you can go to thegamenashville.com/615day. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you today. Elijah Campbell manning things at our Hillside Medical Game Studios. We're kind of talking about the regionals. Two SEC teams have punched their ticket. Tennessee is in. They'll take on Notre Dame. And they will host Notre Dame in their Super Regional. We'll talk with Vince Ferrara at high noon. Of course, I'm sure the bird will get brought up at some point in that discussion, or maybe right out of the gates. Texas A&M won their region in College Station, and they will wait the winner of Louisville and Michigan. Both have lost a game, and so the next win will punch their ticket into the Super Region against Texas A&M. They'll head to College Station. So you were talking about Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt lost their first game, and you're like, oh, boy, this is not good. They lost to San Diego, 3-2, and then they came back and just pulled out a can of whoop on New Mexico State. And here we sit in the Corvallis region, Oregon State, the host team, the 3 seed overall in the regionals. They have a loss, and Vanderbilt has a loss. So the next one, the next win, will punch their ticket in to either the winner, Auburn, UCLA. Like you said, it's going to be Auburn. So they'll have to play Auburn, which will, if it's Vanderbilt, if Vanderbilt can find a way to win, by the way, Willie, that would guarantee an SEC representation right there.
Correct.
So that probably, that makes things a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, for the over-under?
That three.
Yep,
yeah,
we set the over-under at 2.5. And, of course, Tennessee is going to host Notre Dame. We'll talk to Vince about that. Notre Dame is no slouch, but they were not. A lot of people thought they should have been at least hosting a regional, if not one of the top eight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good baseball team, but Tennessee's in the driver's seat, of course, playing at home. But for Vanderbilt, it's an interesting run that they've had here. As we mentioned, going into the regional, they were reeling. Swept at home against LSU to end the season. Got a win over Ole Miss, and then lost 10-1, 10-2 in an exit at the SEC tournament. Then they lose the first game on Friday, where they face a kid who I got to give him credit. That's one of the best pitch games that you'll see. Lefty that just pounded the strike zone. Fastball changeup, not overpowering, but just precision with his location. And that's part of what makes this tournament great, is you get a great pitching performance, it can throw the tournament, upside down. But even though he pitched really well, Vanderbilt hurt themselves in that game. They made a couple of mistakes that cost them a couple of huge runs. So it looked like they were down and out. There was a lot of discussion. They got Enrique Bradfield on to lead off the ninth inning, down by a run, and they elected right away to sacrifice Bunham to second rather than try to steal him, and he's been about as automatic as you can get. Of course, they were facing a left-hander that had a really good pickoff move, and so that was the reasoning for Tim Corbin not doing it. But, that's an easy second guess when you don't when you don't win. And now you've lost 6 out of 7, and there's a lot of doubt, a lot of negativity. But to their credit, they got back up, and they're playing about as well as they can play right now. So now, of course, as it always is on this last day, Darren, you're on your for the Commodores, they're on their 5th starting pitcher. Because it's a 2 days rest. Carter Holton, who pitched on Friday, I don't think he'll pitch today. You know, maybe he could pitch an inning. I think he threw 94 pitches on Friday. Could he maybe pitch an inning in an emergency to try to get a win? Maybe. They pitched their closer last night, Thomas Schultz, 3 innings. They decided to go to him up 8-0 in the 7th inning, which was another one that people were saying, this is a little conservative, right? You wanted to make sure you don't let them back in the game. I get that. But could you have maybe pieced together another inning from another guy or two? Maybe. So could he pitch an inning tonight? I don't know. So you're left with Christian Little, who pitched, I think, 2 innings in relief, maybe 3, on Friday and looked really sharp. He's definitely going to be in the plans today. And then you've got a couple of freshmen who are in the mix. And then you have Patrick Riley, who is the most talented guy and experienced guy that they have in their arsenal, but he's been very erratic this year. He throws upper 90s, has unbelievable potential, but he hasn't developed from last year to this year like a lot of people had hoped. So you've got the talent to get a well-pitched game here, but you've got a lot of guys who you got to hope they're at their best today.
Yep. So I think it's, what, a 3 o'clock start time?
It's a 3 o'clock Central Time start. It's on SEC Network. And the other part of it is, what does Oklahoma State have? Vanderbilt pounded a couple of their pitchers last night. They're on their 4th starter, right, unless they decide to bring their ace back on 2 days rest, which, I, you know, some coaches, I guess, have done in the past. It's usually not it's not as much of an accepted practice as maybe it once upon a time was when Ben McDonald and those guys back in the 80s and the 90s, they'd pitch 5 times in a tournament. They just keep coming back in there. They'd start a game and then relieve the next game, and then 2 days later they'd be back out there. They don't do that anymore. But we'll see what Oregon State has. Their guy that they threw last night was not that impressive. I was surprised that they didn't have more in that slot. So I don't know what they've got behind him. But, you know, they're the number 3 team in the country for a reason. So I know they must have some options.
What did you make of Tennessee having to fight back and win their game against Georgia Tech 9-6?
I was a little surprised. You know, they got behind
6 runs in the ninth.
Yeah, they were behind 4-2. They cut it to 4-3. Still down 4-3 in the ninth. And
I think it was 4-0 at one point.
It started off 4-0. Yeah, they crept back to within 4-2 at the end of 6, I think. Got another run, and still were down by 1 going into the ninth. And then they were fortunate, actually. Georgia Tech had 2 plays that they just choked. I mean, I hate to say it. They bungled. They should have had an out on the play before it got reviewed. But a second baseman was a little bit lazy. Not, I want to say lazy. Tentative on a slow bouncer where they should have easily got a force at second base. The shortstop doesn't come and get the throw. And so the Tennessee runner beats it out, even though he's initially called out. Replay correctly showed that he was safe. And then the play that everybody's talking about, the ball hit the center field where the guy ends up flipping the bird. That's a misjudged fly ball that should have been caught. So, in theory, Georgia Tech very well could have been in a position up 4-3 with a runner on first and 2 out, 1 out away from forcing a game. But so it was a little surprising, but actually I think this is going to end up helping Tennessee because I think it shows that there's a lot of pressure on the number one overall seed. I don't think they played their best. They certainly didn't pitch their best, right? They didn't get the starting pitching. They had to go to the pen early. But they got through it, and that's going to make them stronger, I think, for the Super Regionals. That would be my theory anyway. And Tony Vitello, I think, said that kind of after the game. He goes, let's get these mistakes out of the way. You know, they made a couple of mistakes in the field. So I can only chalk that up a little bit to nerves. And you had Campbell and you had Georgia Tech loose. They were huge underdogs. Like Campbell put it up on their dugout. Nobodies, right? they put a big sign over the visitors' dugout that said nobodies. And next thing you know, they're up 4-0 to start the game. They knocked out the starter. They had a chance with the bases loaded to maybe go up 5 or 6-0, or maybe even more if they get one more big hit. But Tennessee contained it. Georgia Tech was in the same spot. You know, they had guys on base with two outs. And so Tennessee's middle relief probably deserves a lot of credit to for containing the game and not really getting it out of hand, because 4-0 for Tennessee isn't that big of a deal at that park because they score so many runs and they were able to dig out of the hole.
Yeah. The question is, you know how they play. You know they don't mind being the villain. But I wonder how – look, we know how everybody else feels, but I wonder how Tennessee fans feel. Are they cool with it? You know that's
come
what
on.
They bring?
I mean, well,
or are you like, you know, I love the swagger, but isn't that a good – like, yeah. Is that, that's going too far, right?
Well,
we
let's. Why don't we hit
that
part when we come back? Because okay. To me, that's the question.
Like, I don't – but I want to – but really, it's only a question of Tennessee fans.
Exactly,
like,
yeah. So
like
I'd love to hear from some. I'd love to hear from some. Like, honestly – you know, I know you want to defend your school, and you've got a lot of chirps from everybody else around the league saying this is ridiculous, et cetera. But, you know, it's really – you've hit on the question. That's the question. How do you feel if you're a Tennessee fan? I try to put myself in those shoes. Like, if that's my team, how do I feel about that?
Yeah, let's do that to wrap up the first hour. Here on the other side, DDC, ESPN, 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. You can hear the crowd. They were juiced. They were certainly into it.
They were juiced. And you could see, you could feel it with just the noise.
Yeah.
Right? The noise is crack of the bat. Ooh, he smoked that ball. Then there's a silence because it looks like it's right at the center fielder, which it was. But the problem is he misjudged it. And then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, it's over his head. You know, and the place just goes crazy at that point. What a moment. What a bad feel. I felt so bad for that kid. It's the coach's son.
Ooh.
Playing center field.
Ooh. Yeah. Not good.
And then
ends
the mystery.
Your season, too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that was – well, it didn't end the season because it was the top of the ninth.
I know, but you know what I mean.
You could sense the floodgates were –
the snowball was
the
rolling
was,
down the
hill. Dam was going to break.
Yes.
Yeah. Insert your cliche here. He just knew.
Look, he put another bucket out. There was a leak, okay? He just knew it was coming. That's the thing about this Tennessee team in all seriousness. If you give them an inch.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to take it a mile. You know, again, more cliches, more sayings, but that's truly how this team rolls. I mean, it's pretty scary when you're that good – that if you give them any opening, you're kind of toast, right?
Because it was just the play before that they had an easy bouncer to second that they absolutely should have gotten an out on, and they didn't. So you already have set the table before that, and then it just unravels from there.
You know, it's
– So Jordan Beck, right, he hits the ball on that play, and he's rounding first base, and he shoots the bird out. Is it at the center fielder? Is it just into the air in general? Well, remember, he's running the bases in a game that's tied in the top of the ninth. It's not like it's a walk-off.
Right.
It's the top of the ninth because Georgia Tech is the home team in this game, even though you're playing in your home stadium. So if I'm the coach, that might be the first thing I'm asking. It's like, where is your head? You're a very important run, and you're shooting the bird during the action? Think about how much time in a baseball game action is actually taking place. Very little, right? That's the complaint from every non-baseball fan. There's no action.
Yeah.
The build-up to the action is everything. So now you're in the moment, and you choose to do that there? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. But, again, we get to the bigger question. This is just how Tennessee has been rolling all year. But they seem to find a new level. And this is what we've decided to discuss, you know, how we've tried to discuss it. I am all for, and I'll say this. I was watching Kevin Stocker, former shortstop for the Phillies. You probably remember him. Darren, he was on the team that made the World Series in 93, the team that lost the Blue Jays, the Joe Carter walk-off homer. He was the shortstop for that Phillies team. Good player. He's from out west, so he's been doing the Oregon State Regional. And there was a moment in the San Diego-Vanderbilt game yesterday where Vanderbilt's winning. A San Diego player hits a bomb way out of there, and he admired it a little bit. He stood and watched it. And there was some barking from the Vanderbilt dugout, hey, start running. You know, and the umpire had to kind of jog over and say, okay, cool it. You know, let's not let things get out of control. Because the guy did kind of stand and watch. And they were behind. So they got into that. This was before what happened last night in Knoxville transpired. And Kevin Stocker was like, look, I love the enthusiasm, but there is also a yin and a yang, right? If you do that, you're going to elicit a response, which we get. But Tennessee pushes the envelope.
You'd have to admit, that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Look, if we're comparing apples, I'm not sure that's a green apple to a red apple.
No,
I'm not
it's
even
not.
Sure it's
not,
apples it, to apples.
Right, that's kind of what I am trying to get at here.
Like there's
because
a
there's
bit
levels
different.
Of it.
Yes,
right? I think, look, if you're trying to I believe the game should be played a certain way. Enthusiasm, anytime you show emotion, you want to show emotion for your team and not showing up the other team. And I think, you know, you can be as enthusiastic as you want. But I think when you get into showing up the other team and you get to a certain level that goes way beyond acceptable, that's why I think you asked a great question. Is how do the Tennessee fans really feel about it? They've been watching this all year long.
There's no reason to ask anyone who's not a Tennessee fan. Like, we know the answer, okay? This is how this team rolls, and they're okay with that. So
but
they're
going
to be hated by everybody else. But you got to ask your fan base. Like, you know what they bring to the table. You know the swagger they come with. And, yes, it has worked in their favor. They are the number one team in the land, and they have had a monster year. And people are already saying if they can go on and finish this journey off in Omaha, it may go down as not just one of the greatest, it may be the best college baseball team ever assembled. You know, of course, that'll just be a great debate on talk radio and for people to write about it. But that's how good they are. But there's also, like, you want them to have swagger. You want them to do certain things. If they want to wear, you know, a pink hat in the dugout, if they want to wear a fur coat or whatever, all the things that we've talked about, that's one thing, right? But, it, you know, the sticker gate and everything else, these are all different levels. But hitting a double in the ninth and flipping whoever off, I don't know who he's flipping off. Jordan Beck, like, do you really want your team running the bases, telling somebody you're number one? I mean, everybody knows you're number one, but I don't know. That to me, by the way, Henry on our text line says, I'm a VFL. And I can understand the swagger if the baseball trophy case were full of hardware from Omaha, but it's not. Let me just stop right there. Does that really make it acceptable if you've won a bunch of I don't think so. Like that, I don't think there's ever a point where it's like, okay, now you can literally do whatever. What's next? Dropping your pants down to your ankles at home plate?
That's the thing. Where does
it
end? They're finding new levels every time. Like, I brought it up when the pitching coach came flying out of the dugout and started yelling at the other team. Then the umps get involved. And then Vitello ends up bumping the ump. That was a new level. Like, even last night, there are a couple of there were twice that I saw where they challenged the call on bang-bang plays at the bases. One challenge Tennessee won, one they lost. And in both of them, Tony Vitello sprints out of the dugout, up the line, runs onto the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any reason for that? No, there's no reason for that. So they're doing things that nobody else does. This is beyond we play with swagger, we play with energy, we play with enthusiasm. They are at a new level. And they like it, obviously, and they're a great team.
But you know what?
There have been
other great teams in college. And the point is to this conversation is they haven't done this stuff. And
I've never seen anybody go to the level that they go to. And there have been a lot of hothead teams through the years without question.
But this is even the just when you thought there wasn't a new level, they reached an even different level.
Yeah.
And so I'll go back to Henry's text because I want to read it all because I was just saying, look, I will respectfully disagree. I don't really think how many trophies you have in the case that then all of a sudden that changes what you can do or can't do. Either you're okay with it or you're not. Henry goes on to say, show a little class and still have some fun. All they are doing is making an idiot fan or making the idiot fans act like bigger idiots for both teams. So I took it that Henry was not okay with it, but I just don't think there's any point. Look, if this team kind of turns into, you know, if they start, think about the run Vanderbilt's been on. I mean, this has been a hell of a run, right? 2 decades of just being at this level, like every single year. Yeah, it's not winning a national championship every year, but like you can just expect regional, super regionals, probably Omaha, right? Like all that is always in there. For almost 2 decades, still, I think if we pose this to Vanderbilt fans, and we know it wouldn't happen on Tim Corbin's watch, but would you really want that? I mean, that is the question.
Yeah.
Do you really want your players rounding the bases and flipping whoever off? I don't know who he was flipping off. I'll admit, this morning on Robbie and Rexrow, when Joe asked me, I hadn't even seen it yet because, you know, we were at the ball field. We woke up at 6 yesterday morning. We were there. We were gone for 15 hours. And, you know, I came home and showered and, like, got off 6 inches of dirt off my body and went to bed. I was exhausted. So I've been playing catch-up this morning. I've watched it now, you know, 15, 20 times. I still don't know. We're going to ask Vince, yeah. Like, who was he flipping off? You know, what did he say?
I've never
because
seen anybody
they didn't
do that.
Know. They didn't – Joe and Robbie didn't know that, you know, I don't think there's been any explanation of why. So
– yeah, is there – like it's like – Did the center fielder take his lunch money
right.
as a kid?
You know, was there words? Right. There? Was something, yeah, did they say something inappropriate during the course of the game? I mean, I don't know.
I guess we don't know. But, like, if he's pumping his fist, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the middle finger is another – that's another level. But I know it came up on Joe and Robbie's discussion this morning. Should there be punishment? To me, there's nothing that you could suspend the guy for that as an umpire, as a league, as an NCAA. The only punishment would come from within on that. And so I think that's what Tony Vitello has to decide is there a line, you know, of your conduct as a player? He's certainly allowed everything to happen and go at this point, and it's part of their thing. It's part of their mantra. But like you said, Darren, we're at some point, is there a boundary somewhere in there? So that's the only question is the punishment would have to come from Tony Vitello, and I don't think there's going to be.
No, I don't think so either. We'll start the second hour with TD. We'll talk with Teron Davenport next.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumb has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.